Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. I want to thank you today for joining us for the broadcast. And on this broadcast today, we're starting a brand new series. And we're going to be looking at the life of Peter. And Peter is one of my favorite New Testament characters. He was an amazing guy. And I guess the reason I like Peter so much is because I can really relate to Peter. And as you look at the life of Peter, he was one of these guys that was very impulsive. He's the guy that would stick his foot in his mouth and would always be saying things out of turn, saying things that were inappropriate. He would always jump on things and then realize, I got myself in a mess. As a matter of fact, he's the one that said to the Lord, if everybody else denies you, not me, I'm willing to die for you. Well, Peter had to eat those words, and he ended up denying the Lord, but something very special happened to the life of Peter. He had what I would call a game-changing moment. Now, we've experienced these in life, a change in our life that is drastic, that God brings into our lives that becomes a game-changer for us. I was reading the story not too long ago about a man in California, and this man lost his wallet, and he decided that he had thrown it accidentally into the trash. And so he climbed into a very large garbage dumpster. And as he's searching around in this huge dumpster to find his wallet, the sanitation truck came. And while he's down in that dumpster buried in the debris, the guy hoists up the dumpster and he dumps the trash with his man in it into the back of the interior of this giant truck. And the truck then goes to the landfill. It took a terrifying hour for the man to climb through all of the debris and signal to the sanitation engineers that he was in the back of that truck, and he barely escaped being compacted. I tell you one thing, that was a game changer for that person. He realized that his wallet was not worth his life. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I feel like garbage? Sometimes we feel dirty and sinful, like a person in a dump truck. Isaiah says, Isaiah 64, verse number 6, we all are unclean, we are all dirty, we are all unrighteous, even our righteousness is like filthy rags, our iniquity have taken us away. But Isaiah also said, let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and God will have mercy on him. God will give him an abundance of pardons. You see, the Lord offers up complete forgiveness. All of the garbage that we have in our lives, Jesus wants to take it, and he wants to offer up forgiveness. Well, let's look at the life of Peter today. Peter was going along, and as he was going throughout his life, he was at the Sea of Galilee one day, and Jesus was out there, and Jesus saw Simon, whose name is Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they're out there fishing. They're casting the net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And Jesus said, follow me, and you will become fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. So here we see that Peter and Andrew have a game-changing moment in their lives. When you think about game-changing moments in our lives, there's an opportunity that is given to us whenever we have a game-changing moment. A decision has to be made. Some would say it is a crisis of belief. A game changer moment might be when you meet somebody and you have got to make a decision. Am I going to go to business with this person? Am I going to marry this person? Am I going to team up with this person? Am I going to work with this person? Those are game changing moments. Game changing moments are powerful moments in our lives. They're moments in our lives that we have to make a decision. And we must make sure that we're going in the right direction. I believe that God provides an escape for us if we're going in the wrong direction. We would call this a game-changing moment. In the life of Peter, we see a game-changing moment taking place at his conversion. And I wanted to just read this for you. This is a powerful conversion experience that we see in the life of Peter. One day when Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing the nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, who was also Peter, and asked him to put out a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the water a little bit deeper and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, well, Master, You know, we've worked all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. Now, this next verse is a game changer. Verse number 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled up both boats so full, they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell on his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the great catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up onto the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. So we see there's an opportunity here for Peter to have this game-changing moment, and he must make a decision. Am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to follow after the fish? Is this going to be my will being done, or his will being done? You see, the less willing I am to follow God, the less likely I am to find him. You see, God has a way of working things out in his time and in his way. Peter was told to launch out into the deep. You know, he had already washed his nets. He had already worked all night. I mean, he was done. He and Andrew and James and John, they were professionals. They knew everything about fishing. They tried everything. All night they tried everything. But as they followed God, the task given to them by Jesus, they had a major change in their lives. Look what happened to them. Verse number 6, they got a greater catch. They caught more fish. As a matter of fact, the fish were breaking the nets and the boat was sinking. Not only did they have a greater catch, but they also had a greater opportunity. They caught new fish. They became fishers of men, verse number 10 tells us. So their opportunities expanded because of this game-changing moment. And they also had a greater life. They were more intimate with Jesus. They had a deeper love because they were living in deeper obedience. And the Bible tells us here that they left everything. They had this ability to overcome their fear. So they had this game-changing moment where they went from following men to becoming a fisher of men. They went from following to being an influencer. They influenced other people. You see, the world will always have a higher standard for us. And we see that Peter not only had this game-changing moment, but we see that Peter grew by leaps and bounds. In verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came to that region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Now, this is in Matthew chapter 16. They replied, "Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, Peter? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now Peter is taking this following of Jesus, and now he's being an influencer of others about who Jesus is. So I want to ask you a question. Who has your attention? Whoever has your attention, whoever you are following, is the one that's going to have that influence on you. As you follow somebody, that influence of that person will be spread through you to other people. My son recently moved back home, and he's trying to get some things together in his life. And as he was moving back home, he said to me, he says, "You know what? I've learned a valuable lesson." And he says, "I have learned that bad character corrupts good morals." And I says, "You're right. That's a great verse." He says, "Dad, you should always quote that verse to me. That verse is so powerful. Who has your attention? Who are you following?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that the pagans were influencing others to go astray. We know that the Spirit of God says that you ought not to go that way. We know that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the one that should be having all of our attention. You see, when you're convinced that Jesus is the living God, you will influence others to have a relationship with the living God. That's why Peter was able to respond, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We discovered that Peter became one who had these game-changing moments because he became a follower for Christ. And then he became one who was an influencer. But then we see that he also began to change and that he became a man of tenacity. He became faithful instead of being fearful. As we look at the story in Luke chapter 22, dropping down to verse number 55, we see that Peter is going through a difficult time. Now, we're kind of fast-forwarding the story here, and we discover that Peter is kind of drifting in his relationship with God. He's kindling himself with the fires of the world. He's starting to get away from the other disciples. Peter is sitting down with those of the world. As a matter of fact, as he's sitting by this fire, a servant girl saw him, and he's sitting there in the firelight. And she looks closely at him and says to him, "This man was with him," referring to Jesus. But Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, somebody else asked him, "You are also one of them, aren't you?" "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another one asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." In other words, his accent is giving him away. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Well, that was a game changer for Peter. He messed up royally. He promised great things that he would never deny the Lord, and Jesus said, "Before that cock croaks 3 times, you're going to deny me 3 times, and sure enough, he did it. You know, fear paralyzes us from receiving God's best. That's what fear does. Faith, on the other hand, always conquers fear. When you think about this matter of walking in faith versus walking in fear, when we're walking in faith, we would stop and we would listen. Okay, what does the Lord have to say about this matter? That is why I am such a strong proponent of memorizing God's word. How are you going to recall God's word in your heart if you haven't hidden it in your heart? Stop and listen. Number 2, trust him. Okay, Lord, this is what your word says. I may not understand it completely, but I will trust you completely. Number 3, let his will be done. Let God work things out. Let God take care of your circumstances that are beyond your control and let him work them out. Don't be one that jumps in the middle and tries to force something to happen or try to manipulate something to happen. Number 4, allow God to surprise you. You know, God is full of surprises. If you will just allow him to surprise you. Whenever we have somebody get saved and baptized at our church, we always celebrate. We always clap hands for them when we celebrate the fact that they are being baptized. They have made their public profession of their faith, and we support them. You know, God is always doing amazing things. Let that surprise you. Number 5, you want to walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith is realizing that God has got control of my life, and I'm going to trust him every step of the way. And then number 6, be brave. Peter had to learn to be brave. He was cowardly. He was filled with fear. But after Jesus rose again, he had a change of heart. You know, after Jesus saw the risen Savior, as a matter of fact, Jesus makes a very special point. And that point is to actually visit Peter personally. And as he goes and visits Peter personally, Peter no longer has trouble with denying Christ. Well, as we look at the game-changing events of the life of Peter, we discover that he was a follower of Christ who became an influencer for Christ. He became one who overcame his fear. And then number 4, he became a person that was passionate about his faith. I want us to look at Acts chapter 2. And I know you probably can't turn there because you're driving, but in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 40, we discover just how passionate Peter becomes. And I want to read just part of this. I won't read all of the verses, but I'll read part of it. Verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, let's stop right there. Maybe the reason that Peter had trouble denying Christ before Christ died on the cross is because the Holy Spirit was not living within him. He hadn't received that gift of the Holy Spirit. But now we discover the work of the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended up into heaven. He says, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send a comforter to you. And on the day of Pentecost that we're looking at Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends and Peter says, as you repent, as you're being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because you have had your sins forgiven, you're going to receive this gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And because of this gift of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be one who is no longer passive. Now you're going to be passionate. The promise is for you and your children, and even those who are far off, for all whom the Lord calls will respond. And he warns them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. So we have an opportunity here to not be passive about our faith. We can be passionate about our faith as we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's where it is, surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit. That is my time, my talents, my treasure. They go into what makes me a passionate person. So I can't pick and choose and say, well, I want to be passionate about God with my money, but not with my time. Or I want to be passionate with God about my talents, but not my treasures. You see, when God gets a hold of us, when the Spirit of God indwells us, we are passionate across the board. Now, we look at Peter, and Peter was one who understood the importance of having a game-changing moment in his life. But Peter also realized there's some cautions in our lives that we must be aware of. Understand there's certain things we must be aware of, even when we've had these game-changing moments. You know, the time that you're most susceptible to fall is right after a great event has happened in your life. You know, for me, the hardest day of the week for me is Monday. And the reason Monday is so hard is because I just came off a busy Sunday. You know, I preached a couple times, and oftentimes I go to Celebrate Recovery and minister to those who are at Celebrate Recovery. And by the way, if you'd like to come to Celebrate Recovery, I want to encourage you to come. Now, it's not just for those who struggle with alcohol and drug addiction. As a matter of fact, 7 out of 10 people who come to Celebrate Recovery don't have an addiction problem to alcohol or drugs. They come because they're having a hurt or there's a habit they want to eradicate from their lives. So they come and they discover that they can be set free. They can actually experience that new life and they can experience that life that is free of addiction. So Mondays are my worst days. Why? Because I come off this spiritual high. On Sunday mornings, I get up very early in the morning and I spend time in God's word even before I go to the church. And I've already gone over and reviewed my message and what I'm going to say. And I've always spent some time in prayer. And it actually begins on Saturday night. On Saturday night, I pray fervently for our church. And oftentimes, I will go to the church building itself and I'll go into the sanctuary. I go into our worship center and I kind of walk up and down the aisles and I stop and I'll say, Lord, I don't know who's going to be in this chair tomorrow, but I'm praying for this person. And I just pray the Holy Spirit will speak to that person, will bring comfort to that person, and if necessary, bring conviction to that person. I just pray that the Lord's will is done. And then I go outside to our back parking lot, and I walk around our back parking lot where we have our drive-in church. And I says, Lord, I don't know who's going to be parking in this spot, but you do. And so I pray for this person who parks in this spot. And then I go up on the deck, and I say, I pray for our worship team. That they'll be connected and they'll be unified and that they'll be singing for the praise of God, not for the glory of themselves. That they'll be in touch with what God is doing. You know, it's amazing when you think about that spiritual high that you have, and the most dangerous place in life is right after that spiritual high. Usually the day after or sometimes the hours after. So Peter reminds us that there's some cautions to all game-changing events. And that is, don't underestimate your weaknesses. You know, your weaknesses are stronger than you can imagine. You see, when I deny my weaknesses, I fool nobody. Weaknesses that are denied are fatal. Paul says, to the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. You see, weaknesses can take us down, or weakness can make us strong. If we confess our weakness and we realize that it's a stronghold in our lives, then it can be turned around. When I confess my weakness, I bless everyone. When I cover up my weakness, I hurt everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened." There it is, help the weak. How can I get help with something that I never will admit? Help the weak, be patient with everyone. So this is the moment where you are in reality choosing how you to relate with Christ. As we look at acknowledging our weaknesses, we look at Peter, and Peter denied that he knew Christ, and he denied it before a servant girl. It wasn't a rich, powerful emperor. It was a servant girl. Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about." In Matthew's account, we see that after he lied, he realizes that he became a fool. As we look at how Peter is responding to this, he realizes that I've got this point of weakness. You see, whenever I'm not sensitive to the horror of my weaknesses and my sin, I'm really falling at a distance. Peter the rock crumbles 3 times. You know, I think we can all identify with this. "God, I promise you I'll do this." And then we don't do it. So Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Peter is forgiven. He's restored. He becomes the keynote speaker on the day of Pentecost. And he preaches on what? Repentance. Nobody was more qualified to preach on that subject than Peter. You see, Peter recognized that God never puts a period in our lives when we mess up. He puts a comma there. And he puts a comma and he says, "Okay, you have sinned, comma, but repentance is available. Forgiveness is available. You see, my God is going to supply for all of my needs." You see, we must remember as we're going through this process that we can easily get off track. Here are some things that I think will help you if you're feeling like you get off track. Number one is just receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him. Receive that gift of forgiveness. Now notice, it's a gift. Forgiveness is never earned. The word "give" is found right at the end of "forgive." It's a gift that is given to us. Receive that gift of forgiveness. If you have got a point of weakness and you have messed up, ask God to give you forgiveness. Number two, that guilt that you experience, replace that guilt with God's grace. When we think about forgiveness, forgiveness is the mercy of God, where he doesn't give us the punishment that we deserve. Guilt is replaced with the grace of God, where God gives us grace that we don't deserve. Number three, don't follow at a distance. You know, when you're in a right relationship with Christ, it's easy to stay together with the sheep. It's easy to stay right in the middle of the fold, but as we begin to drift, we begin to follow at a distance. Sometimes this happens unintentionally. We didn't intend to follow at a distance. We just got busy. Life happens. Oh, I want to encourage you, don't get too busy to go to your small group. Don't get too busy to go to church. Carve out time, make time. That is a top priority. We can also sometimes intentionally choose to follow at a distance. Now, that's what Peter did. He made a choice. He followed at a distance. A young man once said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23:1. A middle-aged woman said, "God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 46:1. Another woman said, "In this world, you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." John 16:33 through 35. Then an old man, old Mr. John, who was 80 years old, with a head of white hair and dark black skin, stood up and said with as much strength as he could muster, it says in the Bible, "And it came to pass." 85 times in the Bible, "and it came to pass." The class started to chuckle a little bit, thinking that old Mr. John's lack of memory was getting the best of him. When the snickering stopped, he said, "At age 30, I lost my job with 6 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I would make it. At age 40, my oldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At age 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of that house. At age 60, my wife of 40 years died of cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At age 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wondered where God was, but each time I looked in my Bible, I saw one of those 85 verses that said, "And it came to pass." I felt that God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass, and that God would get me through it. Oh, I don't know what you're going through today, but I want you to know it came to pass. God will get you through it. Follow Him closely. Allow Him to minister to you in these times of pain and suffering. God bless you. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.